is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone. This is Lana, not Lana, not Lena, Lana Loktev. It's Russian on both sides. In fact, I'm hardly American since my family didn't even arrive until the 50s after a long journey being in China after they fled the Bolsheviks. But it was just a brief stint in time because now none of my immediate family lives in America. It frightens me to think what will be of America 50 years from now. My guest today, Rich Thomas, is a tough love, rough East Coast guy who calls out weakness, and that's necessary if you're seeking to become better than you are. We'll talk about the main root of white people's problem. Why are we where we are, and what is going to get us out of it? Rich runs a new website, Power Through Discipline, and hosts a weekly radio show, PTD Radio. His project focuses on rebuilding our men, our families, and the communities we live in by developing power through hardcore discipline. Rich Thomas, up next. Welcome, Richard. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to be here. You know, I've heard a lot about you guys in the past, and you know, it's a pleasure to be with an organization like Red Ice. I think you guys do great work, and you know, it's just great to be here today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, like I said, I just discovered you a couple of weeks ago as a listener suggested you, and I can see why you'd be a perfect fit for the show. But for others who are just getting to know you and your website, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do on your website, Power Through Discipline.
Yeah, well, you know, for those of you guys who don't know who I am, I'm a 33-year-old guy here in New Jersey. You know, PTD, or Power Through Discipline, was a creation that I came up with about 6 months ago. It's a website and a weekly radio show that focuses on rebuilding our men, our families, and the communities we live in. We don't do conspiracies. We don't do space alien stuff. You know, we don't do revisionism. And we don't chase down the Jews all day long over here. you know, we focus most of our attention on developing power through hardcore discipline, you know, physically, intellectually, spiritually, economically, politically. And we work on developing practical solutions, you know, that are easy to understand and easy to implement, you know, not next week or next month or next year, but right now.
Yep.
And, you know, that's pretty much what we're about. And we cover issues of the family, you know, where we build up our men, we do health and fitness and nutrition and, you know, mental health. We deal with anxiety and depression. I'll cover sports and, you know, mixed martial arts to a certain extent.
Yeah, it's very holistic. So, I like that.
Yeah. You know, it makes us different from a lot of what I see on the internet there. And, you know, I was actually just at the last UFC event over here in New Jersey this past Saturday with my brothers. We do that every year. And, you know, a lot of the men that are over at my website are involved in that world. You know, they're raising their children to be warriors. And, you know, they got their kids wrestling, boxing, doing jiu-jitsu, and other forms of MMA all over the country.
There's someone else up in your area. You probably know him, though, Justin Garcia from Pressure Project.
I'm familiar with the name. I've seen an interview or a couple of videos.
Yeah, you guys would get along.
Yeah, I should get in touch with the guy. There's no doubt about it. I should get in touch with him because I think they're probably pushing a similar message to what we do over here on the website. But you know, I hear from people all the time. You know, I hear from people all the time, and that, you know, push his work and some other people. So I should probably get in touch with that guy. But you know, I have guys who you know, who are taking their kids on trips to the gym and the training center, and they're playing my shows for their kids in the car, and they gravitate to the message. You know, they gravitate towards a strong, manly, masculine message. That's what the kids want.
Especially nowadays, with all this, you know, feminized, liberal, girly boy activities going on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's what makes us different than other websites. You know, it's not, like I said, it's not a hub for hobbyist retards playing Internet Nazi and Keyboard Commando. And, you know, that's because we don't cater to that crowd. You know, we don't cater to those issues And we don't we don't make excuses for our own people. You know, we're all about self and collective improvement over here. So it attracts a different crowd, and I see it in the email exchanges and the you know, the discussions that I have with these folks off the internet. You know, these are successful people. You know, young guys with a lot of energy, fathers looking looking for improvement in their own lives, their marriages, their relationships. Regular people over here, you know, the kooks and the misfits and the cranks, they're not at my website. You know, they just don't want to hang out over here.
Now, you had another show, Truth Militia, which was really different. So tell us how this transition happened. What did you have going on over there before?
Yeah, you know, it was just a different scene. You know, we covered issues in a much different light than what I do at this website now. And, you know, we had open phone lines over there and dealt with a lot of interesting people. And, but we just, you know, towards the end there, we felt like we weren't accomplishing anything. You know, there wasn't an end goal in sight. There wasn't much practical activism, even on our part. And, I felt like a lot of what we did was a waste of time. And I wasn't happy with it towards the end there. So we needed a break. We both of us got burnt out. And this change happened, I guess, when my son was born and my grandfather passed. And I felt the need to get back on here and start up a new website. Because, like I said, if I didn't have a son, you know, and I didn't have another kid on the way, I probably wouldn't be doing this right now.
It's true. You got to fight for your children's future. You can't be a coward about it. There's nothing noble and honorable about that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, in about 6 months' time over here, we're, you know, we're slowly becoming I guess you could kind of consider us a, you know, loose confederation of folks around the world. You know, I get about, you know, 30 or 40 new members over here a month. And, you know, we're not an organization per se yet, but I think that's where I want to take this in the future in conjunction with, pushing the need for a serious independent media platform that aims to truly empower our men and our families and our communities. And, you know, the reason I say that is because, in my opinion, what we have right now, it's just not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have some talented folks out there like you and Henrik, but we don't have enough of you guys. And, you know, as I said in the past, I like the format of Red Ice and what you guys have done over there. You know, I find that websites that don't have or offer subscriptions, they often attract a low-class crowd of hobbyist retards and, like I said, internet Nazis that just want to play games and complain about everything and, you know, not pitch any practical solutions, and they just want to troll all day long. And I'm not into that. I know you guys aren't into that. I think
don't
you
have
guys
time for
have
that.
A lot. I think you guys have a lot of potential. You know, I think you're professionals with talent over there, and I think if you guys mainstreamed your message a little bit more, I think your network, you know, if you, like you said before, Lana, if you branched into other avenues like live streaming, you know, video or internet TV, you guys could reach the millions and have a massive subscription base over there with paid professionals running the show.
Well, it's kind of interesting because we're coming up on 10 years now. And, you know, Henrik made a lot of sacrifices in the beginning. And we lived in a tiny, like, one-bedroom studio together and, you know, didn't kill each other. It was pretty amazing, you know. It actually made us tighter. But, yeah, conspiracy. You know, people say, oh, you guys have done so many conspiracy shows in the past and, you know, kind of poo-poo that. But that's one of the reasons why that we've acquired such a big audience, because we've really cast the net out there into all kinds of alternative research topics. And, you know, as you go, like you evolve, your message changes, you learn more as you go, and then you kind of fine tune where you're going. So, but yeah, you're right. I think we need a network for white people to cover real issues to combat the mainstream, because people need somewhere to go, right? And that's something that we're actually working on right now. We want to be a white people's network and have all kinds of different shows and cast an even wider net. So we've got some plans we're working on, trying to get together some gear. Actually, we're coming up on our 10th year anniversary in April, and we're going to do a special live streaming show and announce some of these plans that we have.
That's right. And that's ultimately what we need, our own media outlet with paid commentators, you know, radio hosts and TV hosts with a legitimate platform that's funded by, you know, a loyal subscription base, not, you know, commercials or any of that shit, advertisers. You know, for far too long, we've, you know, had people on our side on the internet doing this as a hobby, you know, doing this in addition to running a business or having a full-time job with families and, you know, big boy responsibilities to handle. And then, you know, and then of course we get the guys running websites out there who are still living at home with mommy and daddy, you know, no job, no home, no wife, no girlfriend, no children, but they have a cool website, you know. That shit's got to stop. And I know I anger a lot of people by saying these things, but I do it for a reason. I do it because I want our side to win.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I also think we're starting to attract people that are more, they have more wealth and are willing to invest into the war. I see that coming into, because it does take quite a bit of resources to get some of these things going and gear, but you can start small and bring people in with small sacrifices and build it up and get an audience. It is possible. We just have to try.
Oh, absolutely. But the money has to be there. The support has to be there. The sacrifice has to be there. And we can't do this how the big conglomerates and huge media outlets do it. We can't use their approach. So yeah, it makes it more difficult on our part. But you know, our people need to chip in. They need to chip in and get behind this financially. Financially, we need to really make career paths for our people too. Open up new career paths. That's what
right.
This is all about.
Businesses. We need businesses, and yep. We need to employ each other. Absolutely. Well, you seem like a tough love kind of guy. So if you had some critique, I know you've been already offering that, but to pro whites, what would it be? What are some of the weak spots, but then what are some of the strengths you see?
Well, let's start with the good first. The good is that I see a lot of young people getting involved. And the younger crowd that we have now, they're more in tune to different things than what I'm used to seeing. They're more interested in issues of health, diet, nutrition, and fitness. You know, they're much more health conscious than what I've seen in the past. A lot of these kids have tons of energy. They seem to be a little bit more informed about, you know, the real controls of society and what is going on geopolitically around the world. But I feel that a lot of these kids are wasting their time. You know, they're wasting their time, and they spend a little bit too much time here on internet land. And, you know, that's one of the things that we do over at my website. You know, we don't just go after the, you know, the political class and all these cucks that run our country now. You know, we go after our own white men.
Yeah.
You know, and some of these white nationalists too, you know. They don't think they're cucks, and some of them aren't, but a lot of them are.
How are they cucked?
And
I heard you say that before.
Are.
I was curious, how are they cucked nationalists?
Yeah, you know, I've kind of made that a constant theme over at my website. You know, we've let these guys skate for way too long. You know, anytime you call these guys out, or even when you just question what they do or don't do, you know, they flood over to a comment section to blame the Jew or call you a Jew or a Jew asset or an operative. But, you know, these guys, these Jew chasers, as I call them, you know, they freak out when they read my stuff and listen to my shows because they don't know how to handle a guy like me. You know, they're used to handling these leftist types on social media, and they sit there and they write 15-page dissertations and put up, you know, three-hour-long YouTube videos to counter some, you know, Marxist asshole's argument. You know, that's what they're used to, but you know, when they get to guys like me, they turn into women, and they start posting 5 or 10 times a day on my website. You know, it doesn't matter how many of their posts you delete, they just keep going. You know, some of them send nasty emails. It gets really pathetic after a while, but this is what they do. And man, are some of these people obsessed with this Jew shit. You know, it must be on their mind every second of the day. I mean, we, like I said, you know, we dealt with it at the other site and covered it. But man, these guys are obsessed. You know, for a normal guy, it would be a woman, you know, or at least some good food or getting himself and his family right, but not these guys.
I think there's one thing of recognizing and seeing who's doing what and who's meddling and who created what, but then it's true, you can't obsess about it and kind of get into this victimhood about it, like, I can't get ahead because of Jews, right? That's when it starts going into this other bad place in my mind.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. It's a victimhood mentality, and it is weak. You know, we had this story and these video news reports from RT. I guess they were in Holland or Denmark, one of those soft, effeminate Scandinavian countries. and it's a shame because I'm part Swedish too. But you know, you had these grown white men wearing skirts, holding up protest signs. I'm sure you saw that. Yep. You know, help us, rape isn't just a, you know, a crime against women. Save us from these refugees. And it reminds me of this white genocide stuff. And I know some of you guys out there like it, and that's fine, you know, but I don't like it. I never liked it, and I never used it at the old website, and I sure as hell won't use it at this one. Personally, I think it's feminine. I think it's weak. I think it gives off the impression that these people are screaming for attention like neglected children. You know, as I said in the past, half the people pushing this shit don't even have any children. You know, they're home jerking off, playing video games and posting on comment sections and internet forums all day. And, you know, and this is what really brought me to focus on the weak white male problem we have here in the West. And it's our number one problem.
I was going to ask, is that our real problem? Is that the root of why we are where we are?
Absolutely. And, you know, we can talk about why that is if you want. I can get into that. Yeah. It might take me a while, but.
Well, you hear guys blaming feminists all the time. That's pretty weak, too, right? Like these MGTOW guys, men going their own way.
Well, but I'll get into them later, you know, and you know, as I've said, and I've repeated on the website and radio show, you know, many, many times, and this should be obvious to everyone out there, that men in the West are weak. You know, they're soft, they're fat, they're lazy, they lack testosterone and muscle mass, you know, they're beaten down, they're emasculated and feminized, they don't even look like men anymore, and, you know, even some of them talk tough, most of them aren't ready for a fight, and, you know, I like to use the fighter analogy here because it applies real well to our situation in the States, but more so now the situation in Europe, where in, you know, most of these countries, I don't believe the immediate solution is political. I really don't. And, you know, that'll come later, you know, when the right men are in charge. But right now it's violence, and it's going to have to be violence.
And some of these other cultures, let's face it, that's the only thing that they respond to is violence. That's just a fact.
That's right. And, you know, we're not sitting here advocating it. I'm not advocating. And I'm just saying that at this point, violence will be necessary in the immediate in Europe. But a lot of folks aren't ready for it yet. You know, they're not ready physically. They're not ready mentally. You know, here's the thing. If you were training for a fight and, you know, you had a few months to train, or in some cases, you know, a few years, depending on the, you know, the country or the situation, would you spend that time on the couch watching TV, you know, eating cheese doodles and jerking off to porn and not getting in the best shape of your life? And even worse, Lana, even worse, sending your hard-earned money over to your supposed enemy? Mm-hmm. Is that something that you would do?
No.
You know, no healthy, stable, you know, strong, sane person would do this, but that's what white people do.
I know.
And that's what they've done for generations now. And really, that gets into parenting, too, and the lack of good parenting that we've been through over the last couple of decades. You know, most of the problems of today are a direct result of weak white men and the shitty parents that raised them.
Yeah, I agree.
And
they didn't put their foot down at certain things when they needed to just put their foot down and say, no, we're not doing that.
I see it all the time. I see it all the time. You know, my wife and I go out to dinner a lot on either Friday or Saturday night, and we see it every week. And as I've also said on the website that, you know, that the men in our societies have made catastrophic mistakes, you know, by not defending our institutions, our history, our culture, you know, our lifestyles, and our expectations here. They didn't defend that. You know, they didn't raise strong families or strong children, and many of them became complete deadbeats and drug addicts. You know,
yeah, if you look at history, at what point did they start getting soft? I mean, we know cultural Marxism has done a number to critical theory. I mean, people have been brainwashed in so many different ways in the West now. But when is the last time that men were strong, and what's the point that really started making them so weak?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. It's a great question. I think this modern age of convenience and of instant gratification hasn't helped us. I think that's done a number to our people and has definitely softened us and given us this I don't give a fuck attitude about anything and these nihilistic behaviors that we see. I think that's a big part of it. You know, men were a lot harder during the Depression era, during the World Wars, and God knows those events definitely broke us down as a country, socially, morally, culturally, economically, and everything that goes along with it. And, you know, just men just had tougher lives, you know, all throughout the 18th, 19th, and the early half of the 20th century. So I think that's a big part of it, but it's not a good enough excuse. You know, it's not a good enough excuse for me. You know, our men today have so many goddamn vices and weaknesses, you know, between these guys that spend all day, you know, watching TV. Like I said, these guys are addicted to drugs, you know, they're alcoholics, they're addicted to porn. That's another thing that's big. Pornography has really killed us. You know, junk food, guys are addicted to sports, gambling. You know, you name it, they have it. And, you know, they became weak white men in the process, and they raised their children to become weak white men. You know, the other thing, too, is they didn't get involved in anything. They didn't get involved in local politics or the school boards, or anything important locally. All they fucking did was complain, just like these guys on the internet. All they did was complain and say, oh, he's crooked, he's a scumbag, you know, he's this, he's that. Well, what did you do about it? Oh, I sat on my lazy boy and I changed the fucking channel. Like, what? I, you know, it's hard to figure these people out sometimes, but you don't have a right to complain. You're the one who, you're the people who created this mess.
Yeah, you made a good point, though. It starts locally. If you can't even act locally, then shoot, you're screwed, you know? If you can't even take care of things going on in your own community and protest those and stand up against things going on, then you're in trouble.
Yeah, and it goes even beyond that, too. You know, they left issues of, you know, self and collective health and improvement and diet, nutrition. They left all that stuff to the schools and the doctors and the counselors and the television. They, they let our religion get weak. They let our women get completely out of control because they didn't attack feminism. And in many cases, they courted these women, these disgusting feminist women, and gave in to all their shit and had children with them, which I could never figure out. And, you know, they didn't smash cultural and social Marxism. They didn't stand up to political correctness. They just went along to get along, adapted to the environment here. And worst of all, here's the worst thing. They've spent trillions, okay? Not millions, not billions, but trillions. Trillions of dollars funding destructive cable companies and media operations and pumped this shit into their homes and fed it to their children for generations.
Yeah.
So you can point the finger wherever the hell you want to point it. But if you're not looking at our people collectively and individually, you got a real fucking problem. And there's something wrong with you out there if you're not looking at us first and what we've done individually and collectively.
Yeah, you've said before, you don't like that term, I'm waking people up, and you're saying, waking them up to what, then what, right? So what do you suggest doing? Because it seems like right now we're in the process of kind of gathering the troops, you know, they're kind of deprogramming, people are being converted. Isn't that part of the process as you're drawing people in before you can start to organize?
Yeah, but how long are we going to do that for? Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, all these technologies are available to us. We have so much talent that we can tap into, but we don't do it because our people are fucking lazy. Number one is they're lazy. Number two, they're cheap. And number three, they don't want to make any sacrifices and they don't want to put in any real work. And, you know, most of what these guys want to do is play games. But if we were really serious, number one, we would get involved locally. You know, when I go to the polls over here and vote locally in my election, how many people do you think I see under the age of 50, Lana?
Not many.
None. Zero. Zero. I don't see any of them. None of these people are involved locally. You know, they don't get involved in on school boards. They don't get involved on the town councils. They don't pay attention to anything. They don't. That's insane. Number one is to get control locally, and you got to start making some connections with police officers, firefighters. I mean, everybody, teachers, everybody, whoever's in your town. You got to make connections with these people. Anybody that has influence and pull. That's number one. So local control to me is number one. You know, we talked about the weak white male issue. To me, that really should have been number one. But if we don't include that one, let's see. Number two is we need our own media outlet. And people say, oh, well, we have the internet. Yeah, we got the internet. We got a bunch of goofballs with websites that aren't serious. And it's not professional. It's not funded. It's not professional. We don't have people who are doing this as a career. And we don't have millions of people. We got a couple of thousand people. So what? So what? I mean, look, how many white people are on this planet? What? I don't know. Half a billion? You're telling me we can't pull in 10% of that?
Yeah.
To a media platform that we put out? I mean, I don't understand why this is so hard. But, you know, when you look back at it, we almost have to keep pointing the fingers at ourselves. Because we don't want to put in any real work. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, I mentioned on the website, too, you know, you think about the average child in this country. The average child in this country is exposed to 20,000 TV commercials a year alone. You know, by the time they hit high school, these kids are seeing 300,000 commercials, you know, put out by our enemies. And we wonder why they're all on drugs. And we keep pumping this shit into our homes. I mean, the average white person that I know, they got, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 televisions in their house with DVRs everywhere. I mean, this is insane.
At this point, I just figured this is like a eugenics process going on. Nature's like cleaning out the trash from our race. Because, I mean, there's people I talk to and I literally say, if you eat that, you're going to get cancer. If you put that on your body, you will get cancer. You will get sick. I don't care. You know, okay, well, then fine. Then maybe it's just you need to just take yourself out of the gene pool then, you know?
Well, and that's the attitude. And for a lot of these guys, too, on the internet, it's just easier to blame the Jew, you know, or blame the doctors prescribing the medication or, you know, the poison to our kids. You know, we never look at ourselves, you know, our own parents and white Europeans as a whole, and truly examine what we did by our own shitty choices in life. You know, our own shitty behavior and our lack of discipline. Because if we actually did that, you know, we'd have to blame ourselves and make some serious changes personally and collectively. And most white folks, they don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's amazing how far we've slid. You know, we come from the North. We've evolved in the North. It was cold. You had to have self-discipline. You had to plan things. Otherwise, you would die, you know, exactly. So now we're too comfortable. We don't worry about it. We have the heat. We have the grocery store. It's all good. You're right. It's just definitely made us soft. So do you believe in leaders? Do we need a leader? Where are men that are leaders on our side?
Well, I mean, I think there's one leader right now in this country, and that's Donald Trump. But, you know, high men of quality they're hard to find, yeah. You know. But let me tell you something. I've never worked with anyone, you know, that was successful, that had their shit together, that had poor character traits, you know, and they sure as fuck, you know, don't spend, you know, tons of time on discussion boards and in comment sections of websites. The successful men that I know personally, they all really share the same traits, and those traits are, you know, strength, confidence. Really, a lot of them are cocky. They're well-spoken, and really, just like Trump, they keep things simple and easy to understand. You know, they're natural-born leaders, but we haven't raised a crop of men like that yet. And I put that word "men" in quotes, you know, frequently, because that's a title that you have to earn. In my book, that's a title you have to learn, have to earn. But I think Trump is tapping into that right now. And that's what I've been trying to tap into on my website here. That's what we've been working to do, is build these men up to become those leaders, because we haven't done that, you know, for the past half a century, maybe longer, but we haven't done it.
Yeah, and like you said, too, parenting. I know so many guys, they didn't have fathers, they weren't there, they didn't teach them how to do jack, you know, they had to raise themselves, or moms were raising them. That's also a problem.
It's huge, and you know, it's not just huge for men, all right, but, you know, setting examples as a strong father is definitely crucial for young men, and that's something that I do over here. And whenever I come into contact with young men, I always make it a point to mentor them. But it's important for young women, too, you know, and, you know, a lot of people don't understand this, but when a father sets a poor example for his daughter, okay, and this has happened for years now, for generations, the women start to identify white men as being weak because they identify white men with their own fathers. Oh, my father's a fat fuck. He's a lazy piece of shit. He sits on the couch and, you know, gorges himself on junk food and watches TV all night. He doesn't act like a man. He's feminine. He's not serious. I mean, and then they start to identify our men like this and our boys like this. And then some of the women start to date outside their race, too.
Yep.
Because of it. But again, you know, let's blame the Jew. Let's blame the Jew for it and not look at what we've done. It just goes back to the same thing over and over again. It's us. You know, it is us.
Now, what do you think? Some people say, oh, well, Trump's not sincere. What do you think about that? How do you answer that?
Well, yeah, it's, to me, it's not even about him being sincere or not being sincere. It's the tone that he's setting in this country. And it's what he's doing to political correctness that's important. He alone, himself, is smashing political correctness and social and cultural Marxism. And let me tell you something, and I'm sure I've said this on a prior show, if your president is willing to be politically incorrect and come out and pretty much say whatever's on his mind, the public is going to be the same way. They're going to follow suit. And white people will finally have the courage and have the ability to be honest and open about race and other issues that are considered to be taboo or sensitive. So I don't even give a shit about whether this guy is genuine or
true. He's opened up a lot. People are talking about now, and it's fun to watch all these conservatives and these neocons. They've pretty much like ganged up against him with the left. It's amazing to watch.
He's changed the political landscape forever. And if this man gets elected president, which I'm betting he is, I think he will get elected. It's done. This whole system changes completely overnight.
People say, he has a huge ego. I think that could be a good thing, though, because then he has something to prove. So if he lets you down, then his ego will be butthurt, right? So he's got to, like, step it up and be successful.
You would think, you know, you would think so. And, you know, the big story was Ted Cruz, you know, winning in Iowa. And, you know, this guy's a real piece of work. You know, this guy was born in Canada.
Yep.
You know, he went to Harvard, then moved to Texas, and he picks up this accent down there. And, you know, he gets involved with the wacky evangelicals because his father was a, you know, real religious kook down there. And he buddies up with guys like Glenn Beck. You know, these guys claim they're constitutionalist conservatives, yet they're down on the border handing out teddy bears to, you know, illegal immigrants running across the border. And, this guy's got Goldman Sachs behind him. His foreign policy is crazy. You know, he's just like John McCain, no different. He'll bomb Russia without even thinking about it. And, you know, I'm sure he's got all kinds of neocons behind him. And, you know, but none of that shit happened. You know, none of that shit, for whatever reason, mattered to the, you know, the half-dead fat retards, as I called them, and kooks in Iowa, because he praised Jesus and quoted the Bible, you know, and that was good enough for them to come out and vote for this guy. You know, all you have to do is quote the Bible, and you'll get elected in Iowa. You know, it's a religious vote that doesn't translate to the rest of the country. You know, no one thought that Who were those guys? Was it Santorum or Huckabee? You know, no, nobody thought those guys, you know, would be president after they won in Iowa, because it really doesn't matter. You know, they all got smoked soon after that. Now, I know a lot of people, or at least some people listening to this, might, you know, be saying, well, who cares? You know, who gives a shit about this circus? You know, why spend so much time on the national election? You know, a lot of them will say, oh, it's, you know, it's rigged, or the Jews control it, or, you know, I know we'll hear that one. But let me tell you something. You know, we give these people, all right, this crowd that they always try to, you know, blame everything on, we give them too much credit. You know, the Jews did not force over 50% of the white electorate over there in Iowa to come out and vote for these two cucks and these two establishment hacks like Cruz and Rubio. You know, think about that for a second. And then think about the average, you know, caucus voter in Iowa. You know, yeah, we know they're all fat retards, you know, TV watchers and party operatives that wear these goofy hats and, you know, wave these signs around, but they're all white. They are all white, and, you know, you got to look at what happens when you leave the voting to whites. And that vote, as kooky as that electorate is really almost 100% white. And what do? They vote against their own interests. So no matter how we look at this and slice it and dice it, it keeps coming back to us.
Don't you think that it's pretty much, I mean, I look at America and I see how the floodgates are open to quote unquote refugees and immigration, and they can't bring them in fast enough, and it's drastically changing our demographics. I mean, this country is going through a massive transformation. Yep. I don't think it's going to be the America that we've known. I mean, is there even going to be a place for white people in it?
You got it. And our own people are retards. You know, a lot of them just don't see the bigger picture, you know? And what I really don't understand is that a lot of these people are single issue voters, but it's always the wrong issue that they're focused on. Now, if you're, like you said, if your single issue is immigration, you know, fine, that's common sense. You know, there's reasoning and justification for that for 100 different, you know, different reasons, whether they're, you know, social, cultural, political, or really just the quality of life here. You know, just get out on the road, you know, the highway, or the next time you're driving to work, or you're stuck in traffic, ask yourself, wouldn't it be great if we, you know, added another 30 million people here from the third world? You know,
yeah.
wouldn't it be great for jobs, for wages, for welfare rolls, our schools, hospitals, our infrastructure? I mean, this is completely insane. I mean, these are the questions that these people should be asking, you know, about the fabric of, wouldn't it be great for the fabric of our society, our traditions here, our history, our heritage? Wouldn't that give it a moral boost, you know, another 30 million people from the third world? I mean, this should be an obvious answer. But at the same time, you know, outside of Iowa, which, like I said, I don't understand that electorate, but this is why Trump resonates with people. You know, he knows that this issue, as you said, this immigration issue alone, is the future of this country.
Yeah.
And really the entire Western world. And here's what I love about Trump. You know, he keeps the message short, you know, short and simple and easy to understand. And, you know, most of Trump's lines and responses are usually 10 words or less, at least the ones that people remember. And he repeats them because, you know, he's a businessman. You know, he's a leader. He knows that. You know, he knows that that's what sticks with the public. You know, not telling these idiots to go out and do their own research and look into the Constitution and, you know, get into complex topics. You know, just keep this shit simple and easy to understand. That's what a leader does, you know?
So what do you think the point is of, like, Hood and then all these refugee relocation centers and all the whitest, smallest, nicest towns across America? What is that about?
Well, we all know what it's about. That is our elites to ultimately drive down the standard of living and our expectations of what we should expect in this life. You know, I mean, we are an expensive labor force, Lana. You know, well, white Americans are not a cheap labor force. We expect things. You know, we want a retirement package. We want time off. We want sick days. You know, we want a pension. We want this. We want that. These people coming in here don't want any of that shit. These people are happy with a bag of Doritos and, you know, a freaking television in front of their face.
It's a step up for them.
And a toilet and running water.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what this is all about. And these people that are running this country, they don't have to live with these assholes. You know, they become their servants and their labor force, but they don't have to live with them. They're living in gated communities. These people are paying, you know, $50,000 a year in property taxes alone. They don't have to deal with this shit. We have to deal with it. So, you know, that's what this is all about. In my opinion, that's what it's about. It's about driving the standard of living down. And this has been done by our elites for hundreds of years, for thousands of years they've done this. I mean, this is why the blacks were brought up north during the Great Migration periods. I mean, to really drive down the labor standards up here,
it's
wages.
It's race trader capitalists, basically.
That's exactly what it is. It's always been our own elites. It's always been our own elites behind this shit and colluding with the worst of people you could possibly ever imagine. I mean, and that's what I always ask. You know, I say, where are our people with money?
Mm-hmm.
Where are our super wealthy people that come up and defend us and back us?
Yep.
They're nowhere to be found. The other groups have them. The other groups have plenty of patronage from their wealthy people. We don't.
I mean, I'd like to dream of some, you know, rich person out there who's very pro-white and he's buying up land everywhere for a future place for all of us to be. I wish something like that was happening, but it just seems so utopian to think about it, and that's kind of depressing and sad.
They don't even come out and talk about any kind of issues whatsoever at all. They don't even come out and defend traditional conservative values. They don't even do that. Forget about mentioning race. They don't even defend, you know, the most basic principles that have made this country and Western civilization the greatest civilization in the world.
Yeah.
They don't even do that. So, you know, like I said, you know, it goes back to the same thing. We can keep pointing the finger, but I'm not happy about this. I don't sit here with a smile on my face talking about it, but we have to look at our own folks.
Well, at this point, I'm not so concerned about the quantity as much as the quality. How about you, of white folks, so that we could possibly have some people to go rebuild with down the road?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you know what? That's a great point. And it's easy for us to get caught up on the negative all the time. But here's the great thing about it. The people that I see around me, at least, who are reproducing and having children and building families, they're not these liberal Marxist assholes. They're not these people who think that fags are great and transgenders are beautiful and, you know, and that they don't have these opinions.
Yep.
The people who are having children are conservative people, generally
right.
conservative,
yep.
traditionalist-minded people, and I they're all young people. It's amazing how conservative a lot of these young people are, and I don't know if I want to use that word conservative because it has such a negative connotation, but traditional, you know, traditional people that ultimately want to see our culture preserved and don't like all this shit that's being shoved down our throats now. So that is really the positive that I see coming out of it, is where we're headed in the future in that regard.
Now, you give a lot of good kind of motivational talks, but how do we rid ourselves of personal limitations? I know that's a big one. People get stuck in limitations. So what do they do to break out of that?
Well, you know, it's hard. It's not easy to keep yourself motivated, but you got to have time for yourself. You know, you cannot do this 24 hours a day. I see a lot of guys who do this shit every day. They do shows every day. They become mundane and boring. And you got to give yourself some time to live your life and do shit that normal people do and, you know, have some interests and hobbies. And that doesn't mean playing on the internet, you know, getting out in nature, you know, connecting with the spiritual world, which I talk a lot about on my show, and also getting yourself right physically, getting the diet right, because that can overcome a lot. The diet is one of the most important things, that we really need to get a handle over, and, you know, that's another thing that our people have ignored.
What kind of diet are you on? Curious.
Well, I was on an Atkins kick for a real long time back in the day. I just was pretty much just strictly Atkins, and then I kind of graduated to paleo for a while. But I found that it just wasn't working for me as best as I, you know, thought, because I just wasn't getting the mental clarity, I guess, and just it wasn't even a physical thing. It almost became a mental thing, and I wasn't getting enough fat in my diet. I was getting a lot of protein. And it almost became to the point where it was becoming inflammatory. It was too much protein and not enough fat. So I looked into keto, the ketogenic program,
yep.
And which is very similar to paleo, but we don't, you know, you don't eat fruits and high sugar foods, and your fat intake goes way the hell up. 50 to 60% of my diet right now is fat, all clean.
Your brain needs it. Your brain is fat. It needs it to think.
That's right. That's right. 60% of our brain is fat. And, you know, people need to understand, too, that diet is more important than exercise. And the other thing I see people doing a lot, too, is I see people doing a lot of running and aerobics. And
I hate that stuff.
Number one, it's boring as hell. Okay, that's to begin with. And it really, you know, it really makes you not even want to go and work out. But, you know, people need to be doing anabolic workouts, you know, and on top of that,
walking, sprints as fast as you can, hiking
and sprinting every now and then, not running on a treadmill like a fucking hamster, you know, that's not what we were meant to do. And on top of that, you know, on top of getting those healthy fats in and as much DHA in your diet as possible, which I would absolutely recommend. You know, get outside more and get your blue light exposure down too. We get way too much blue light in this country. You know, I'm looking at my house right now. I got all these fucking lights on in here. And the minute I come home and I fight with my wife about this and she thinks I'm crazy. And I'm walking around here with by 7 o'clock with my blue light blocking glasses on. But let me tell you, I've never had better sleep in my life. The last year of my life, I put these glasses on and I changed the bulbs upstairs in my house to mimic more of a amberish fire, you know, type of color. And it really helps your sleeping. And now even she's admitting it. She's like, wow, I sleep so much better now, you know, and you know, we don't have any electronics or anything like that.
Tell us more about the bulbs. What kind of bulbs are they?
They're just like an amberish tint bulb that mimics a fire color. I mean, think about how, you know, we went down at night, you know, as we got closer to night, we didn't have lights on. It was pitch black.
We had torches,
you know,
candles.
Yeah, we were sitting in front of a fire, you know, and that's how we're supposed to wind down at night. We're not supposed to be high energy and bouncing around all over the place and lights on. And it's, by the time you get to about 7 or 8 o'clock, you gotta start winding down.
It's true. The TV, you know? The Wi-Fi, all that stuff can make you real jittery and like hyperish, and you can't calm down.
Makes us crazy.
Yeah.
And it fucks up our sleep, and sleep is vital, vitally important. People don't put enough emphasis on getting good quality sleep, and they're sleeping on shitty pillows and mattresses, too. They don't want to go out and spend a little bit of money and sleep on a good mattress and a good pillow. That's
one
you're
thing talking
I'm
to
not.
Someone who bought an organic bed. It's organic cotton and wool. There's no chemicals. It's super clean. Love it. Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
I'm not afraid to spend money on stuff that's going to make me feel better and stuff that is good for your health. That's what I'm not afraid to spend money on at all. But these people that are sleeping on $3 piece of shit pillows and mattresses that kill their back and their joints, and I don't know.
So do you think it's also important to kind of switch up our routines? I sometimes can kind of get stuck in the same things, you know, when you have a business and even diet and stuff.
I talk about it all the time. I talk about it all the time on the show. I talk about every so often I do a, with diet, I do a carb refeed. You know, I'll introduce like resistant starch to the diet. I'll eat like maybe like 2 sweet potatoes or something like that before like a long hike the next day that I'm going on. So that's one of the things I do with diet. And exercise-wise, if you're somebody who goes to the gym every week, you know, take a week off from the gym. Do this, you know, I do this once every quarter. You know, I take a good solid week off from the gym and I go on long, long hikes, or I ride my bike if the weather is nice, or I'll do, you know, some body weight exercises outside. I have a, I got a heavy bag outside that I hit, and I go wild on when the weather's a little bit better out here. And, you know, yeah, absolutely. You got to change up your routine, or you do get bored. It does happen. And not only do you get bored, but your body gets used to the workout. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of confuse your body, you know, and it really helps in the development of good, you know, good muscle mass. I mean, with when you do that.
I find too, it's so important for me to be outside and in the woods and just even grounded, walking barefoot. It's just, it's a way to kind of cleanse from all that cultural Marxist filth I see daily, you know, doing this kind of work, you do research. It could be very difficult on you physically, mentally, emotionally. And so you have to go get grounded and do certain things that ground you, right?
Yeah, and it's where you do your best thinking. It's where you do your best thinking. It's where your mind's clear. It's, you know, it's where you can get connected with the, you know, the outside world and nature. And, you know, spirituality is huge. And I don't push religion per se, but I do push spirituality. And I think all of us should get connected with nature, with, you know, with the natural world, with the earth, with and really find a way to do that and find a time at least once a week to make that a part of your routine.
Our ancestors, you know, did. They were completely in touch with natural cycles of the earth. That's what all their celebrations and traditions revolved around. You know, some people say, oh, you know, pagans, that's LARPing. I'm like, no, it's the most grounded thing in the world, being in touch with the natural cycles of earth and remembering your ancestors.
Absolutely. And I don't bash somebody that wants to use the Christian religion. That's fine. That's something that I used to get into at the other website. You know, we used to, you know, goof on the Jesus freaks out there. But we don't do that at my website now. I say, look, that's one of the problems actually we've had, is that we have a feminized version of Christianity now that is just, that's another thing that's done a real number on our people, is the feminization and emasculation of our religion. And I know some people say, oh, it's not our religion, you know, it's a desert religion and all that other stuff. But I don't even get into that. I just say, look, if somebody was pushing a manly, masculine, powerful form of Christianity that was repelling, you know, these invaders, and we went back to a more hardcore form of it,
and great.
I'd get behind it and support it in a second, no doubt in my mind. But you know, it's but nevertheless, spirituality is huge. It's very important. It should be a part of everybody's life.
I agree. Yeah, some people think I hate Christians because I criticize aspects of it, and I used to be one. I grew up around Christians. I still have lots of Christians in my family, and there's a difference between, you know, people that are spiritual Christians and then this kind of organized religion. Now it's like anyone's accepted, right? Bring in all the refugees. I mean, the church organizations in America are the number one helping out hand that's bringing in all these refugees into America too.
Yeah, and they've been doing it for a real long time. You know, so some of the churches are okay where I am, and I can deal with them when I have to go to a confirmation or a christening or something like that, and they're okay. But most of them are just entirely destructive. But the government's made their way into the church over the years, and they've kind of crippled them too. And I guess you lose your tax status if you start getting into political issues, right? If you're a church organization, right? Don't you? So I guess some of them have to be a little careful about how they approach that. But, you know, it's the churches have been behind a lot of this shit. Absolutely. Absolutely they have. And, you know, you look at all this gay shit that's going on in the churches and everything else with these priests and perverts that make their way in there. So, yeah, it's we've got a lot of problems here. We've got a lot of problems, but we got a lot to look forward to. And if, like I said, if our people put in the work, if they're willing to sacrifice and they're willing to commit to things, we can make a better future here. But we just need to understand what's practical, what's a waste of time, what we should be doing, and what we should scrap and get rid of, because a lot of the strategies that we've used in the past just don't work, and we have to come to grips with that. I've come to grips with it. I have evolved personally. My website is completely changed compared to what we used to do at the other site.
Yeah, how did that happen so rapidly for you? How did you come to that conclusion?
Well, like I said, you know, just towards the end there, I just was not happy with where it was going. I just was not happy with what we were doing. And I'm a results, you know, oriented kind of guy. I want to see results. You know, I want to have some kind of a gratification too, and say, wow, what I really did was good. But I wasn't getting that at the other website. Now I'm getting it, because I get stories and emails from people all the time telling me how I've changed their life, and you know, people are doing this and they're getting themselves right, and their families are better, their marriages are better, their sex drives better, their diets are better. I mean, this is real shit. I'm dealing with real issues over here. I'm helping our people, and I'm pitching practical solutions over here.
Now, when it comes to some of the pro-white stuff, do you feel that it should just be streamlined and a simple message, like you were saying earlier?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and I fight with these guys all the time, but listen, if you're going to stay on this Jew shit, you're going to stay on this conspiracy shit, and you're going to get into all these wacky things like flat earth and all this other stuff, I'm like, look, you're going to drive away good people. You're going to drive away good people, and it's a losing message. It's not a winning message. Okay, you got to keep shit simple. If you want to see what the message is, come over to my website, read the about section, and you'll see what the platform is there, man. It's real easy and simple to understand, and it hits on every issue. It hits on every issue that we have a problem with in this country. But at the heart of it, it's our own people that need to make the changes to make it happen. It's as simple as that. And, you know, that's what I'm doing over at the website, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. Nobody's going to change me. Nobody's going to convince me otherwise. I'm a big boy, and I've come to these conclusions over, you know, a long period of time, over a decade now. I've been at this for, you know, over a decade. I've been looking into this stuff, and this is the point that I've reached, and I think everybody gets to this point. I talked to a lot of guys who went through the same evolution as me. They said, oh, you know, I started the same place you were. I was reading those books. I was on those websites. I was doing this. I was doing that. And now I'm exactly where you are. So I think a lot of people are moving in this direction.
Well, one thing that's unfortunate is I see people almost like kind of born again pro-whites. They're racially aware now. They've woken up to a lot of things, and they go so hard, so fast, so deep, and then they burn out 3 months later. You know, I've seen that happen a lot.
You do. You do burn out, and you know, you have to pace yourself. And see, I don't even consider, pro-white, that's another term that I don't even like all that much, because to me, you have to be right. You can't just be white. You got to be right. You got to be right as an individual. You have to be powerful and disciplined as an individual. And you have to be somebody that ultimately wants a better future, that wants success, that wants to work, you know, with normal, regular, successful people. I don't want the cranks over at my website. You know, I don't want the misfits and the losers over here. You know, I want the right people. Matter of fact, I'll pitch this message to any community. That doesn't mean that I'm advocating diversity and advocating, integration or anything like that. No, no, no. But I'll pitch this message to any community, because black guys should be doing this shit too. Look at black guys. They're the most feminine people in this country. These guys are out buying a brand new pair of sneakers every month. They're worried about their clothes. They're dancing all over the place. These guys are feminine as hell. I make fun of them all the time. And I talk to black guys and tell them, look, your people are fucking feminine as hell, man. You think white guys are feminine? Your people are feminine. So this weak white male issue, it kind of it transcends race, because, you know, black communities got their own problems with their men. We all know about those problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I've come to a place where I welcome, you know, different avenues, different approaches, because, I mean, for the true meaning of the word, white people are the most diverse, you know, so it takes a lot of different ways and avenues to attract people. But then maybe like you're saying, yeah, maybe there's different ways we can like come together and attract those people and have like a main hub where we're all connected, like a main headquarters.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where we need to, that's ultimately where we need to head in the future, Lana. So.
All right, Rich. Well, thank you for your time today. I really appreciate it. Can you share your website and anything else you'd like to say to our audience?
No. I think we covered enough today. I think it was a good show. I think it was a productive show. I think people can take a lot from what we discussed today. People want to find my work. There's, you know, two websites or two addresses you can put in. The first one is ptdradio.com, and the second one, the long address, is powerthroughdiscipline.com, and you can find me that way.
All right. Well, thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Love what you guys do. Have a great night.
I was thinking about Rich's tactic of shaming weak men, and it's what we used to do on the schoolyard before touchy-feely liberalism. The weak kids got picked on, and it forced them to become stronger. You see it in the wild, too. The weak one of the litter gets picked on. It's brutal, but it arises out of a biological necessity for the species to become more fit, more strong, and to push toward the next level of evolution. Words like wild, biology, and evolution are not dirty words. Instead, they're based on the most primal, earthy instincts of all, survival. our innate ancient instincts are what we need to get back in touch with if we're to survive as a people. What is happening to us now is an opportunity, and we need to take the time to sharpen ourselves on that stone. It can actually feel quite rewarding when you put yourself in those uncomfortable circumstances that make you rise to the occasion. Weak people will stay weak, and they will lose, and they will disappear. Whereas people who are disciplined, seeking to become the fittest they can be, will inherit the earth because they will claim it. They will work for it, and they will make it happen. Look around. People of all races are getting dumber, fatter, lazier, and all around pathetic. So now is the time to do the complete opposite. It is those who will inherit the earth, not the meek. European heroes are courageous, victorious, and badass. They're not submissive, timid, and easily imposed. Even our female heroes are warriors, seers, and protective mothers. It's clear to me we are in a period of cleansing, separating the weak from the strong. So a little tough love in the end can be a good thing. Thanks for being a part of this hour. Join me next week for a ladies' interview, one in Germany and one in Hungary, as we talk about the current situation in Europe. If you want to help support us, consider sending a donation or sign up for a Red Ice membership to access over 1,000 shows. Your membership keeps us commercial-free, even on YouTube, and it helps keep this afloat. Like I mentioned earlier, the goal is about much more than two radio shows, but we'll talk about that in April during our 10-year anniversary live stream. Have a great night.
Bait and laughter.